Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Any of us look back and say interracial marriage should still be illegal on the day after Barack Obama is elected president of the United States?
If Barack Obama's parents were same-sex married, Barack Obama would have never been born.
Wouldn't it be cool if we could get 20,000 people having sex for seven straight days?
What we're saying is willing to accept some infanticide as the implication of our support for abortion.
Faith has sustained me through the challenges and the joys of my presidency, and faith will guide me for the rest of my days.
I remember I wouldn't call it a misspent youth, but it was at times squandered, overspent. I grew up in the Bible Belt. I grew up in the place in this country where there were more Baptists per square inch than there were just about anything. And an awful lot of charismatics, Pentecostals. And there was a time during my youth when I began to wonder whether or not I was missing something. A lot of the Christians, especially Christians my age, in my teenage years, at these other churches, Pentecostal churches, churches that had more of a revivalist flavor, more emotional flavor to them, more subjective, to be quite honest, I was wondering if I was missing something because those Christians seemed like they had something I didn't have. Now, after a brief foray into that, I discovered that it was actually the opposite, that I had something that, sadly, they didn't have. We're going to be talking about objective versus subjective Christianity. Pastor Richard Woolmer will join us here for the first half hour of Issues Etc. live this Monday, November the 24th. Greetings and welcome, and thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later in the program, we'll spend some time talking about Judgment Day. It may have been the theme of a sermon you heard yesterday. Last Sunday of the church year was yesterday, if you count the church year the way the church counts the year. And Judgment Day is also a theme for Advent leading up to the season of Christmas. So what should we expect? It is coming, by the way. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, it is coming, Judgment Day. Fear? Wrath? Punishment? What should we expect? We'll talk about that with Pastor Bill Swirl a little bit later in the program. Hour two of Issues Etc. today. We'll review a sermon on the wise and the foolish virgins. There's a Judgment Day parable, if you ever heard one. Pastor David Peterson of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, preached the sermon. We'll review it a little later, and then we'll round off today's Issues Etc. with Dr. Thomas von Hagel of Concordia University, Chicago, talking about first century Bishop of Rome, Clement. He actually wrote an epistle that is still around for us to read to Corinth, and he is so close to the time of the apostles, he's worthy of note. The church remembered Clement yesterday, Sunday. Our call-in number as we come to you live this Monday afternoon, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Richard Woolmer is our guest. He's campus pastor at University Lutheran Church in Bloomington, Indiana, author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine, titled Christ on Campus, of Testimonies, Healings, and Holy Spirit Car Wash. Interesting. Pastor Woolmer, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much.
First of all, I got to know what a Holy Spirit Car Wash is.
Well, it was a very interesting thing to observe as a young Lutheran who was kind of questioning things as he went along. But I went to a my friend's church, as I said, and they had a time where people would line up in kind of like a gauntlet, and the washee would enter one end of the gauntlet, and as he walked through that, people would lay hands on the person, and they'd be praying and speaking in tongues. And by the time the washi got out at the other end, he was supposed to have the gift of tongues also and the Holy Spirit. So it was quite an interesting thing to observe.
What for you in your days of youth was attractive about this more subjective form of Christianity?
Well, I think I came to the realization that I wanted to have more emotion or feeling in my life, and in particular in my own spiritual life. And I was always intrigued by people who had kind of a dramatic story to tell as to how they became a Christian, and or people who were just more visibly devout or willing to talk about God, and I was always very impressed with those kind of people because I thought they just seemed more genuine in some respects than I was in my own faith.
Did that prove to be true, Pastor Walmer? I mean, in terms of did they have something that you didn't have?
Well, I don't really know. They seem to be a lot more excited about their faith, maybe. I certainly loved my church and my congregation. I grew up in that congregation. But as you're getting to be an adolescent and you kind of look for things that are more exciting or a little bit different, and I was thinking that things were pretty much the same all my life, and so I started to look at other people, and these people had, I guess what they had that I didn't have or understand was some kind of testimony, and that was a new thing for me, and I think in the long run, of course, I did have a testimony that was very solid, and it just wasn't quite as dramatic on the outside as their testimony was.
What did the typical testimony of their testimony sound like, and then contrast that with yours?
Oh, most of the time it was I went to Sunday school as a child and drifted away and got into into the wrong crowd because I wanted excitement in my life, and so I started to drinking more or something like that, and just hanging out with the wrong friends, and then I realized that I wasn't really doing what I should be doing as a Christian, and I got down on my knees and I prayed, or I went to the service, and people asked for a time to come up to the altar and to pray, and that's where I accepted Jesus into my life for the very first time, and after that happened, I felt this rush of God's love, and it was very exciting for me, and it just created a whole new outlook on life, and I wanted to live for the Lord and be on fire for the Lord, and I would just sit there and listen to that, and going, "Wow, well, that's great," so that it was always so dramatic, and I looked at my life as growing up in a Lutheran congregation and knowing everybody in my church, and if you got into trouble, your mom and dad would hear about it from other relatives, and so. I couldn't be, it was hard to be a rebel in that kind of a situation, and I just kind of grew up knowing Jesus as my Savior, and everybody else knew Jesus as their Savior, too, and I didn't have anything dramatic to say to anybody about that. Saying that you were baptized wasn't quite as, baptized as an infant, 1 week after you were born, didn't really have the same kind of ring to it that going the bad crowd route and all of that seemed to conjure up all those images.
What did your friends at the time that were immersed in this more subjective form of Christianity, what did they make of you saying, well, I've never really known a time when I did not know Jesus Christ, my Savior? What did they make of that?
I think that they probably thought that I was fooling myself, you know, that that any kind of faith without an outward decision or, you know, stepping forward or raising your hand or something like that at a church meeting wasn't valid. That sure, you can talk about Jesus, you know, when you're a little kid and go to Sunday school, but you really have to at some point in your life make a decision to accept Jesus or to, you know, dedicate your life to him or something like that, that that is the sign that you are a true believer and that you definitely are on fire, that you have the Holy Spirit in your life. And that was always something that kind of took me aback, you know, thinking, well, I can't think of a time when I didn't know Jesus. I was always confident in my faith, and in that I knew that I was a sinner, and that I was saved by Jesus' death and resurrection, and there was never any problem with that for me. I fully understood that, and it gave me a lot of peace in my life. And so here, someone comes along and says, "Well, you know, baptism's not good enough. You have to have this and this and this."
We're talking with Pastor Richard Wolmer about objective versus subjective Christianity during this first half hour of Issues, Etc. What about the rest of you? Does the story sound familiar to you? It certainly sounds familiar to me. I remember those kind of conversations taking place all the time when I was in high school with fellow Christians. If I said, you know, I was raised in a Christian family, my parents saw to it that I was baptized, I've never known a day when I didn't hear and believe the gospel that I hear in my church, being told, well, that doesn't count. That's not good enough. I need to know day and hour, when did you make your decision for Jesus? You know what it did for me? For a short time, it cast some doubt on that baptism, on what God did in that baptism. It cast some doubt onto whether or not I was really a genuine Christian. When we come back, we'll find out whether or not the same doubts were entertained by Pastor Richard Wolmer, our guest. Our call-in number on this Monday, November the 24th, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Timothy Johnson, Richard Coyle, Margaret Chakraborty, Matthew Bussey, Rachel Bussey, Carol Keezer, Lucy Brown, Robert West, Stephen Perry, and Benjamin Weeding. Thanks for your support.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. Issuesetc.org.
Never trust a smiling evangelical. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran Church, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Sponsors. The Issues Etc. 300.
Welcome
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Monday afternoon, November the 24th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Walmer's telling us his story about a brief foray into a more subjective form of Christianity where it's about your feelings, it's about your personal experience, and not so much about the objective things that God has done. And where does the certainty lie in subjective Christianity? That's a good question. We'll get to it in just a moment. We're talking about objective versus subjective Christianity. Was there ever a time for you, Pastor Walmer, when your involvement with more subjective Christianity raised doubts about what God had done in and through baptism, raised doubts about whether or not you really were a Christian since you couldn't point to that lightning bolt experience?
Well, yes. I went through the remainder of my senior year in high school after my experience with going to several charismatic churches and different kind of experiences like that, and started into college kind of seeking the same thing, always considering myself a Lutheran, but still very much interested in anything that was more genuine looking on the outside. And I went through catechism, I was well catechized, but still those lingering those lingering doubts in the back of my mind always came forward. You know, like, how does God work through baptism? You know, why would something that is so simple create a genuine faith, or how could it create such a genuine faith? Am I any different as a result of that than these people who claim that they've had some great experience in realizing that they're saved through Jesus Christ and that they've dedicated their life to Him, and what makes them different? And, it was just doubting my own genuineness, I guess. I knew what the Bible said, and I understood that when I was confirmed, but still you get these crazy doubts in your mind when you're a young person and you see other people, you know, saying things and living a lifestyle that seemed much more exciting as far as their spiritual life goes than what I ever experienced.
So what cleared it up for you? What brought you back onto a firm footing with the objective truth of God's Word rather than your subjective feelings or experience?
Well, I had spent an awful long time going to different churches, and ended up going to college in Southern California. I was 2,000 miles away from my home, and my dad dropped, my family took me to school in California and kind of plopped my suitcase on the sidewalk and said, "Okay, you go to a Lutheran church." And I said, "Okay," and I proceeded to go to all of the famous churches in Southern California that weren't Lutheran, and just got a wide experience of how things were in the non-Lutheran world. And that kind of searching went on for a long time, for several years, especially through my college years and my first couple of years out of college. And I started going to a Lutheran church again and slowly got more involved. And the more that I heard the liturgy again, the more I thought, why did I ever leave? Because everything just seemed so clear in the worship service itself. Every place that I had gone to before, it seemed more like a kind of a variety show that was Christian-based. You know, that they sang about God and they gave an emotional message and they asked people to receive Christ, and that was all well and good in my mind, but it still left kind of a shallow spot in my life, and I realized that after being around that atmosphere for several years, that most of these people weren't really any different than me, and in my everyday life, they still struggled with spiritual issues or with sin and guilt and things like that, and those were the things that I had gone through and I was going through, and so they. They didn't really have any kind of advantage by going through a contemporary worship service and singing, different songs and maybe waving their hands in the air or anything like that. You know, I began to see that there was really no difference. And then in some personal conversations with good friends, many of them even doubted their own faith themselves, because they weren't feeling a certain way. They weren't feeling the way that they thought they should be feeling if they were a joyful, you know, on fire Christian. And I began to hear myself talk to them saying, well, you know, it's not about your feelings. It's about what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. And that's when we know that we're saved. We know that he died for our sins, and we know that we're going to heaven. And that's what we really count on every day of our lives. And it doesn't really matter what you feel like. And I really surprised myself by hearing myself say that. And that's when I realized that, yes, there's something lacking here, and I really have found it in a liturgical Lutheran church service, that it points me to the certainty of my faith in Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection for me.
So rather than looking inward to take a measure of your faith or your certainty or whether or not you're a Christian, just as you had been taught in your youth but perhaps failed to fully understand, you found yourself then looking outside yourself to a firm place that you could, where you could lay your faith rather than inside.
Exactly. Yeah. And it just all came rushing back. You know, all of the certainty of my faith and or the certainty of what happened to me in my baptism, and it was really such a treasure to embrace and to hold. Knowing that I can remember that baptism every day. And before, whenever I heard the phrase, remember your baptism in catechism, I always thought, well, how am I going to be able to remember my baptism? I was an infant when that happened. But I realized much later that you're not remembering the actual event. You're remembering what happened to you at your baptism. And what a treasure and what a gift that is from God, to be able to remember what happens, that we become his, and we have his name applied to us and given to us.
Finally, then, what's the best advice that you would give us on how to have a conversation with Christians that are more experiential, that are still kind of mired in the uncertainty of the subjective, of what's going on inside them rather than outside them?
Well, particularly if they're, you know, from a background that has solid, you know, catechetical teaching, you need to remind them that that what you learned was a very clear expression of God's word and a confession of faith that is very clear and gives assurance of who we are as God's children, and we shouldn't rely on just feelings, because feelings come and go, and you know, it could be affected by the relationship that you just ended with your girlfriend or your boyfriend, or you know, it could be affected by, you know, the relationship you have with your parents, or if you've lost your job or something like that. And so, you know, that's very very changeable from day to day, and you can't rely on how you feel as a Christian to determine, you know, whether or not you are a Christian. We all struggle with things, and we know that our only hope is in Christ, and we know that our future is in heaven because of that.
Pastor Richard Wolmer is campus pastor at University Lutheran Church in Bloomington, Indiana. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Christ on Campus, of Testimonies, Healings, and a Holy Spirit Car Wash. We have a link to Higher Things magazine posted under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Pastor Wolmer, thank you so much, and I'm glad that you found the rock of certainty. Thanks for being our guest.
Well, thank you, Todd.
When we come back from this break, we're going to be talking about Judgment Day. Talk about something that gets people, that will test your certainty. the prospect of Judgment Day. I mean, this is really the final thing, isn't it? It's absolutely what everything's headed toward. Every event in human history driving toward this same end, the end. The end that will be just you and God standing before your Creator. They used to say when someone was getting ready to die or meeting an execution, prepare to meet your Maker. Well, that's what Judgment Day is. But how do you prepare? Are you prepared? A little bit later in the program, we'll talk about five that were and five that weren't. A much misinterpreted parable, the five wise and five foolish virgins of Jesus' parable. Pastor David Peterson preached on it, and we're going to be listening to that sermon, reviewing the sermon, and hearing from you. Our call-in number for the next hour and a half, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. And we'll talk a little bit about someone, a very ancient someone, that the church remembered yesterday, Clement of Rome. He was right on the heels of the apostles. He even wrote a letter, more than one, to the Christians in Corinth. A lot of Bible quotations in Clement's letter. We'll talk about that with Dr. Thomas von Hagel in about an hour here on Issues, Etc. 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org.
Voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A couple in the extreme northwest part of China is under dire pressure to abort their third baby, already 6 months along. They first fled with their two daughters to save the life of the child. But the government said it will confiscate their house and farmland if she doesn't submit to an abortion. As you know, China has a forced abortion population control policy. Feeling like they had nowhere else to turn, the woman has gone to the hospital for the forced abortion. But thanks to Congressman Chris Smith from New Jersey, the international pressure has been applied and the hospital is afraid to proceed with the baby's death. Join me in praying God will intervene and spare this baby's life, as well as many others who are victims to China's brutal policies.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
On behalf of the staff of Issues, Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues, Etc. Timothy Link, Harold Wilkie, Michael Wilkie, Christian Wilkie, Bruce Hellenbart, John Bobson, Jerry Robbins, Pastor Andrew Correo, Richard Wilson, and C.R. Ford. Thanks for your support.